going out of state permit?
Been pretty close now, just flipping around.
Okay. In my district, I think what would happen is, back to work.
Why can't you do it this way? Why can't you abolish these such force unless the individual school boards say you can have it?
This is what it does, I think. I think it's, essentially it does that. It says you can't do it unless it's been authorized by school regulations.
They want school by school or town.
Well, maybe you could provide for the school board just to say, well, this school can have it.
Well, that's what the intent, exactly.
How about every school, since every school, at least in Anchorage, has a PTA facility?
If authorized by school regulations, the principal of each school may implement the regulations by authorizing the teachers to use non-deadly force.
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't every school, irrespective of size, have a principal?
Yeah.
Some probably not, of course, but I mean, that might be a way out.
So,
what happens now?
In other words, if the school board says it's okay, then the principal in each school can decide whether he's going to allow it in his school, essentially.
Is it allowed non-deadly or deadly?
No, we only use that. Well, should I move on off of that? I think we could. Subsection 3 deals with the use of non-deadly force to maintain order in a common carrier of passengers. For example, to use non-deadly force in ousting an intoxicated person from a bus who's harassing the other passengers. Subsection 4 deals with the situation where you use non-deadly force to prevent a suicide. It just reflects a policy determination in the law, and you would note that you can't use deadly force.
If you can use deadly force, you'd be defeating your purpose.
Subsection 5 deals with use of force by doctors, paramedics, or any person who renders emergency care at the scene of an emergency. And you could use force if it's with consent, and if it's not with consent, you could do it in a situation in an emergency where the person reasonably believes that a reasonable person would consent to it. Section 440 and 450 codify the defenses of duress and entrapment. The defense of duress is defined rather broadly and probably expands the common law defense by including all type of conduct, including murder. Duress would be a defense to murder as well as any other crime. Dan, I know, has a problem with it, but I think Dan has suggested that we discuss it together before we recommend any changes. 450 is the defense of entrapment, and it's an affirmative defense. It codifies the Alaska Supreme Court's decision in Grossman. And there was one section that was left out of this provision. Well, it's a questionable whether it was left out or we just neglected it. And that says that the issue of entrapment shall be tried by the court, and the jury should not determine entrapment. The court does.
Just leave that right on out.
Excuse me?
Just leave it right on out. If it's left out, I suggest you just leave it.
Keep it out. Dan was somewhat concerned about it. That if we don't.
Might I inquire, Senator, whether the intent of leaving it out would be to change the law or to leave the law as it is?
Well, my intent is simply to make available any possible defense.
Oh.
To be an issue for the jury to decide, not the court. A hard judge can simply say arbitrarily and assign no reasons for so doing. I don't find entrapment exists. The jury might very well.
Guess I won't raise my point on duress.
Yeah, you do that. Now, right, go ahead. The intent that you're expressing then is that if he fails, if he fails to convince the judge, he still has another shot with the jury on entrapment.
Not if the judge rules that the defense does not exist. He wouldn't have another shot at it. Not in any court I would have been.
Okay.
It's a factual issue. Did this guy have a mind which was not predisposed to committing this particular type of crime? by the police officer, the undercover agent, or whatever. It's a question of fact for the jury, not a question of law for the judge.
Could I comment 1 minute on that, Senator?
Mm-hmm.
That I think is correct under the test that's in existence in under federal law and in a majority of other jurisdictions. In other words, the subjective test for entrapment, which focuses on the individual defendant, as Senator Ziegler indicated. In other words, whether this particular defendant was predisposed to commit the offense. The Alaska test, as reflected in Grossman and as set out here, is the objective test, which is a minority standard. And it focuses on the conduct of the police, much the way search and seizure law does. In other words, it asks the question, did the police engage in conduct that would compel a reasonable person, any reasonable person, who was not otherwise disposed to commit the law, to break the law, such as absolutely overwhelming pleas to sympathy. I've got a dying mother who a doctor will give no more morphine to, as an example. Any reasonable person who had access to morphine and who was presented with certain facts might sell morphine to this person. That's why in this jurisdiction, given the fact that the focus of attention is on the conduct of the police, that it's a judge issue, because it's really a question of law and not a question of fact, because it involves conduct committed by the police and what a reasonable man would or would not have done, not what this defendant would do. This defendant is irrelevant to a consideration of entrapment under the Grossman test. And the present case law is that the judge decides it on a prior to trial, whether or not the police engaged in conduct that illegally induced someone to commit the crime.
All I know about entrapment is what I learned from Wendell Kane. Besides, I tried to utilize the defense myself one time, and the government cost me $5. It's the first time when I got arrested for slave riding, and I claimed I was entrapped because I was sitting home babysitting at 10 o'clock, and then he showed up and knocked on my door with his flexible flyer and said, "That's for slave riding."
Flexible flyer?
Yeah. Well, we went and we got nailed. Claimed entrapment. You know, the pure, no predisposition toward this type of legal activity. When the police officer came and
he was
on me into
his
judge.
For the record, on the entrapment thing, we did have a provision in there that said it should be tried by the court in the absence of a jury, and in the subcommittee. Then the later draft, it was suggested that that be taken out because it was obvious that that is existing law, and this restates existing law. In the commentary I reflect, I say this, of course, will continue to be dealt with by the judge in the absence of a jury. And if we don't put it in, if we don't put that language in the statute, I assume that commentary will stay, since that is existing law. Okay. Article 5 is the section on responsibility, and this is the insanity defense. And
where,
I think, oh, on page 91. Well, I got 3 more pages. And that will finish everything. I could stop now and, you know, do it when G. Kent Edwards on Tuesday.
Be a nice little warm-up for you, right? The 3 pages get you.
Sure.
But
I don't have to. Senator, you should have seen the subcommittee meetings when we had 10 hours some days. I think there's a goofiness.
I think I was rude for the day when I tried to visualize a flexible flyer. How old were you then?